Once upon a time, there was a caveman. In his bestseller, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, Dr. John Gray tackled how men and women handle a problem. Men solve their problems by going into their cave, and women solve their problems by talking. Dr. Gray made it crystal clear that a woman should not follow her man into his cave. The more she disapproves of the time her man is in the cave, the more he will be reluctant in coming out. When I first read that book, every thought came as a revelation, and I knew exactly how Sir Isaac Newton felt when he understood gravity. I will resist the urge to write about how men see us, women, as the reincarnation of the Macbeth witches. When we are blue with sadness or red with anger, how we are expected to be ever so cheerful, problem-free, and crisis-proof. How we're supposed to give the benefit of the doubt, put our best foot forward, be flexible, open-minded, and tolerant. Otherwise, I will be just another Egyptian girl, which in this context is synonymous with party pooper, killjoy, flat beer, and wet blanket on a cold winter night. In my younger years, I used to take the do not disturb sign quite well. But by time, that went hand in hand with heartache. I developed an allergy to caves, cavemen, and do not disturb signs. Experience taught me that men abuse Dr. Gray's cave theory. They use it as an excuse every time they want to end an existing relation, start a new relation, or have overlapping relationships. A man in a need of space means a man in a need of a new hunt. A man on his way to the cave equals a man on his way out of the relation. A man who wants to think is a man who wants to weigh the new cow versus the old cow. I packed my suit of armor, nails, claws, hooks, and daggers, took a lifetime supply of chocolate, and my favorite relationship survival tactics book, and hopped on his boat. Prince Charming entertained me with stories, jokes, deep conversations that I never thought men were capable of. He opened up to me and communicated with frankness and transparency. Every now and then, I would look at my stack of self-defense mechanisms and laugh. I really will not need any of my weapons this time. Lucky me, I finally found the different man, I thought. One happy morning, I found the famous do not disturb sign, sealing his mind, heart, and tongue. He wanted his space and asked for some time to think. The symptoms of my chronic allergy showed on my face, on my body, on my words, on my SMSs, and my emails. I geared up for war. After exchanging a few angry looks and a handful of accusations, my newly found man went into his cave, and I waited outside, praying for the best, yet expecting the worst. Dr. Gray asked women to do something fun and enjoyable while the man is brooding in his cave. So while my caveman was doing what he needed to do, I fantasized about having a shaved head, adopting a new cat, selling my dining table, going to a tanning saloon, starting a matchmaking service, and other crazy things that would be simply censored. I avoided any thoughts that led me to ask, what is he doing in his cave? I did not want to think, did not care to ask, and was not prepared to know. My caveman was not as bad as the other cavemen out there. We were not totally disconnected. There was network coverage in the cave. And to me, the phone represented the whole relationship. I got used to the new form of communication, adjusted my expectations of him, kept him archived in that gray zone between a friend and a special friend, and took extra doses of chocolate to alleviate the symptoms of my allergy to cavemen. Finally, he poked his head out of his cave and told me that he hated women, and then went back in hibernation. I just stood there wondering if I was cursed or if a wicked fairy put a spell on me when I was born to get back at my parents. The caveman handed me a piece of paper that symbolized his new calling in life. He was going to lead a men's liberation movement. Fancy that. He would spend what is left of his life advocating male rights in a female-governed community. He would free men from their oppressors. Women, the wicked witches, us, would be tied to a stake and burned to death. Egyptian women today have well-paying jobs, leading positions, and have no time for being mothers, know nothing about being wives, and are materialistic, demanding, and manipulative. They are compulsive liars, ugly double-faced creatures, and they nag, nag, nag again, and nag more. That's what he told me. The list of demands was not long, but it was extremely creative and original. The caveman wanted to switch places with women. He would stay home and take care of the kids, while she had to work, make money, get him a maid, pay the bills, take him to nice places, spend regular vacations, and get him anything he points a finger at. On behalf of men, he was pleading for equality. A man usually got his bride an engagement ring or shapka. Why doesn't she get him something within the same price range as well? He is asked to pay money in advance before the marriage, like a dowry or mahr. And he writes another sum that he has to pay if he divorces her. My ingenious caveman wanted men to stop paying the mahr, or else women had to pay an equal amount. He also wanted the in case of divorce money to be a debt on whoever asked for a divorce. The caveman was urging men to give women what they have always asked for, their liberation. Hence, no man should pick up a check, open a door, or carry a heavy bag on behalf of a woman. There were some miscellaneous items on the list. Egyptian women were fake, full of pretense, and had petty minds and little brains. Once their biological clock started ticking, they would go on a relentless man chase trying to get a package that looked and felt good, paid and lived well, and wanted to settle down. They wanted a big wedding to show off, a honeymoon to get their friends envious, and a man pour la forme. Women in this country look better and more socially accepted when they are dangling from a man's arm. At first, I was angry, and the feminist in me wanted to smash his head and his cave. Then I felt a lot of sympathy gushing through my heart. Many Janes have stepped over the heart of my poor Tarzan. Then I decided to write back a plea in defense of women and condemning men, as I always do. I started with the history of women's liberation movement and what evoked it, namely, men abusing women on the grounds of having to provide for them. In plain English, I shelter you, feed you, clothe you, protect you, and get you pregnant before it's too late, and then I'm a man, and you, as a woman, should be silently grateful to have me in your life, even if I beat you up, even if I don't give you money, even if I have affairs, even I get a second wife, or even I just act like a complete jerk. But when I came to the actual demands, his demands that reflect how women act nowadays and how the Egyptian society became a foster home for the seven deadly sins, including greed, gluttony, lust, and sloth, I had nothing to say in our defense. He was right. We made men view us as bloodthirsty hounds aiming at their lives. Then I realized why Egyptian men prefer dating or marrying foreign ladies. Those blondes do not just have the looks. They have what it takes to bring out the best in our men. They believe in them and in their innate qualities. Unlike us, they give them names, not labels. They want to share and give. They want to build a life based on honesty, trust, and respect. While we tend to put the cash, the car, the wedding, the villa, the honeymoon, the ring, and all the other stuff on the one hand, and on the other hand sits the caveman, alone, thinking of going back into his cave for shelter.